Mr. Charlie Chia Fook in Rue 8. Mr. Chia, do you know which section of the military did this factory belong to?
The military occupied the whole of the United Engineers building, including the workshops. And there they did also put up a new building right at the back, a single-story building. And that was where our section was transferred later on.
Where was the factory?
Right at the end. When you come in from the main entrance, you have to go to right at the end. And there was another entrance at the back.
Where was the place located? The name of the street?
I think that was Clemenceau Avenue, I think. Clemenceau Avenue. The beginning of Clemenceau Avenue. You had the then Pulau Saigon Circus. As you turn in from Havelock Road, that road is known as Clemenceau Avenue. And I was very fortunate in the sense that this friend of mine did prepare lunch for two persons. And also night time after work, after I had my wash, I went down to his house for dinner. His mother or his sister cooked for us. So every morning he had a different carrier. So he had one compartment for himself, one for myself. So we had our lunch. At night time, a meal at his place.
Did you know the military things like belts and all that, who were they meant for?
Well, you know, of course, they were meant for the soldiers, you see. We only just made these leather goods. They were packed away.
Besides this sergeant, how many other Japanese soldiers were in the factory?
I think the sergeant, you had this lance corporal, and then another four buck privates, I would say.
What was the main duty of this sergeant in the factory?
The sergeant, he was in overall charge, you see. He just gave orders. And the lance corporal carried it out, you see. He just distributed the leather, told you what was it he wanted, he all carried on. At the beginning, they did supervise everything themselves. Well, when they appointed me as the second foreman, I then took charge, you see. And they only had this lance corporal and two or sometimes even one Japanese soldier in the workshop. I did the supervision. Everything, and in the evenings when we disperse, we lined up before the gate, and I and another chap did the security checks on the workmen.
So initially the Japanese soldiers were in a supervisory position?
Yeah. But later on it was left to me, you see.
Were you the only one who was appointed as the supervisor of the factory?
Yes, they appointed me and another cobbler. He was a cobbler. Of course, as a cobbler, he did different type of work. So they left him alone. And, well, he did what he liked. But overall, running of the show was left to me, you see. With the help of this Japanese soldier to enforce discipline, you see. But of course, when you get a gathering of Chinese, there's bound to be gambling. There was one or two mischievous chappies who, when they noticed that the Japanese were a bit slack, they did indulge in a bit of this gambling with this match sticks, you see. I saw it, I warned them off, I said, don't do it, because if you get caught, you're going to suffer, you see, and there's nobody to help you. So they did. Of course, they resisted by saying, not worth it. I've got to only open my mouth, and you get such a bollocking, you'll never forget in your life. So, better keep quiet, put it away. So, all right. They stopped it, you see.
Initially, when you went, what was your work?
When we started, the three of us, when we started, of course, it was known amongst those other workers, oh, these three are the English-speaking chappies, you see. So we learned how to hold a knife by just observing. And we also learn how to knock holes, you see, and how to stitch. We learn the rudiments of the work, and we more or less mastered it.
And later you were asked to do some clerical work. What kind of clerical work?
Well, taking daily attendance and all that. Well, I could only speak a bit of Nippongo, as it was called. as to Chinese, you know, perhaps I could distinguish the 1, 2, 3, 4. You see? Other than that, maybe I learned a few Chinese characters, but nothing more. So they found me redundant, you see, put me back to the workbench.
The clerical work was done at the factory itself?
Inside, the workshop. We had a small partition area. It was not a room, just a partition area, that's all, on the raised platform.
So besides taking attendance, what other kind of paperwork?
I don't know what other, because they had a Chinese clerk, you see.
What were your pay like when you were when you just started?
When I just first started, I can't recall exactly how much I was paid. And when I was promoted, also I can't recall. But I do say it was sufficient to keep body and soul alive.
When you were promoted, was there any kind of increment as well?
Oh yes, I had increment. I had to put on an armband to demonstrate my position, you see.
What kind of armband was it?
What do you say, like canvas armband.
Oh, what was written on the armband?
I can't say because I don't understand Chinese, you see.
It was written in Chinese characters.
Yeah. I don't think even there were Chinese characters, you know, all that there. They had a couple of stripes on it, that's all.
What about working hours in the factory?
Normal was 8 to 5, of course, with a lunch break. And if you had to work overtime, you worked to about 7, 8. You had a short break after 5, then you worked up to 7 or 8 o'clock. There would always be one Japanese soldier behind, you see, irrespective.
Were there any other kind of fringe benefits besides the pay?
Oh yes, there was. All the workers had a ration of rice now and then, quite regular.
People work in this factory. You mentioned that only you and your friends were English educated. What about the others?
We were only three English educated. Of course, you had some males and females who were Japanese, Chinese educated. You see, you had a small subsection where they did the sewing, you see.
So, what was their background like?
Their background would be, most of them were staying in the Chinatown area. Because that is the area where the previous, the foreman was staying, you see. And then he was a cobbler also himself. He was one of the first to join, you see. But they found him more or less redundant. So they just left him on his own and do what they like, you see. So of course, the workers would be more or less from that area, you see, whereby word of mouth, they pass it around. Oh yes, this place is an engaging people.
So there were only one supervisor in charge of almost 200 workers, 100 over workers?
Yes, there was that sergeant in the early days, with the assistance of these other soldiers. Eventually, that sergeant, the lieutenant that come down once in a way, he take a stroll around the workshop and go back, you see. Eventually, he also disappeared. And the sergeant also disappeared, leaving this lance corporal and this one or two soldiers, because they had no trouble, no complaints, and things went on smoothly.
How was the relationship like between the colleagues?
Of course, amongst the males, no one that create any trouble. So I do not think there were any, what you say, quarrels. But of course, amongst the females, then now and then there were some quarrels.
And as their foreman, how would you settle such quarrels?
No, I left it to the lance corporal. As far as the female side is concerned, I just see that they kept within the limits.
How about relationship between the Japanese and the local workers?
Well, it was quite cordial in that workshop. Only there was one incident where I was threatened, you see, by the lance corporal. Because that blooming woman was pretty friendly with the corporal, you see. I don't know what she bickered behind my back to the corporal. Something to do with that cake which they supplied in the evening, you see. And therein the corporal, lance corporal, called me into the storeroom. He tackled me. What he said, I gathered, you know, that I abused my position in this matter of the distribution of the cakes and so forth. I told him, I just told him point blank what it is there. I knew that she was the person behind it, but I left it as it is, you see. But he did adopt a threatening attitude towards me, you see. Because this woman did not like me. But of course, she did not dare show her displeasure, you see. Because anything if happened, I could go to the sergeant or go to the lieutenant. The lieutenant could speak a bit of English. He was a university grad, so he could speak some English, you see. We did converse a couple of times in English, you see. He did sit down in the workbench beside me. We had a short conversation, you see. So these things were observed by the other workers and the Japanese soldiers. So in so far as my person is concerned, I think they thought it wise, you see, to leave me alone. And he did pull me out from the workbench to do some writing for him for a couple of weeks, you see.
How else would you converse with the other Japanese? Could you speak in English?
I speak to them in Nippongo. Because that the English Nippongo pocket dictionary of mine was really worth a fortune. It could make a conversation easily, although it may not be good Japanese grammar. You just pick out the words you want to speak and you just couple it up. Therein you got on, you can get along with them.
What about the other workers? How would they converse with the Japanese?
Well, there was very little conversation, you see. Other than this woman with that lance corporal. She was that netty type, really.
The soldiers in the factory, were they wearing uniforms?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What kind of uniforms were they wearing?
The ordinary jungle green. Of course, when they go inside the factory, some of them just took off their shirts, you see.
What about the uniform of the lieutenant?
All better quality, with an overcoat.
Any difference?
Oh yes, he had his ranks and his sword.
Do you remember his
physical?
The ranks, his rank, the.
I could only make out from the two stars that he had on his shoulder. He was a lieutenant. I think in the army this was uniform throughout all the armies, you see.
Since this was a military factory, what kind of a security did they have?
Oh, it was all fence all around, of course. And they had guards at the entrances, and they had these hay-hoes patrolling, going around the factory on the perimeter.
Any checks before you enter and when you left the place?
Not during my time. When you enter, it's only in the evenings when you leave. They're afraid that you take something out. Because in our workshop there, you got these cotton threads, these sewing needles, sewing machine needles, you see. These could be a temptation, you see.
What about, did you have to have any kind of pass in order to enter the factory?
Well, I don't recollect I ever had any pass, you see.
What about discipline? What happened if people were caught not doing their work or stealing things? What kind of discipline would they enforce?
There was only one type of disciplining which these Japanese soldiers know, and that was the beatings.
Did it ever occur in the factory?
Off and on. There were a couple of occasions whereby I saw a chap strapped to a post or something outside the main entrance. What it was for, I don't know, never questioned. And you can see from his face, that was in the morning when I came in, you can see from his face that he had been given a beating before they strapped him out there. They, by these various actions, they demonstrated to the people that it would be more than very risky to challenge them.
As a foreman, were you expected to enforce this, carry out this kind of discipline?
Oh yes, I was. The Japanese soldier was there to see that I had only to point out, and therein the culprit would be pulled out. But I was always reluctant, you see. I just only warned them, okay, don't do it. The consequences are very bad. Not worth it.
So how was your relationship with the rest of the workers?
It was quite all right. My relationship with them was quite all right, especially with my this co number two. It was all right, really, because he realized, and he was dependent on me, really. So he realized the position, and he was pretty cooperative.
Who was number one?
The number one was the cobbler, the first to be engaged.
Your co-partner was also a cobbler?
Yes, he was also a cobbler. Really.
You mentioned that as a foreman, were you expected to recruit members or workers for the factory also?
I was not asked to. See.
If any of the workers had any problem, would they approach you to help them?
I was never approached at any one time, you see. But only in the normal course work, if they wanted anything, so I just did what I could, so.
Did you have any contact with the... You were working in the factory, so did you have any contact with the administrative part? The headquarters or something like that?
No. All the time I was in the workshop. With the exception of that short period where the lieutenant asked me to go to his office and did some copying work for him.
How long did you work in this factory?
I think I joined in 1943 or so, or late 42. I worked for more than a year there, and I think it was again at the end, towards the end of 43 or early part of 44, I left, you see. Because as I saw it, there was no future, you see. All this was a, what you say, drudgery, you see, where I had to get up early in the morning, go to work, sometimes come back 8, 9 o'clock, sometimes in the evenings, and then go down to my friend's place for the dinner. I felt this was rather tiring, so I did ask my co-partner on that trip to Penang, George Ratnam, if he would like to venture out. But of course, he had a nice cushy job then. He was back in the police force, and he was getting on well. So he saw no rhyme or reason why he should. Well, that being the case, then I had to work out a solution myself. Having thought about it, I said to go north would be extremely, very hard. Because I did not know Thai, neither did I know Burmese. I would be very outstanding, it would be very dangerous. Mm.